Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Conversations That Matter for the New American Magazine. I'm your host, Alex Newman, and we have a returning guest, an incredibly special guest. His name is Riley Moore. He is the state treasurer for the state of West Virginia, or Best Virginia, as it is known to many in West Virginia. And, you know, I think a lot of people right now are really thankful for states like West Virginia that produce energy. West Virginia is one of our major energy producers. They are in the top five when it comes to coal, natural gas, also in total energy production. And so especially in the era of $5 gas prices or $7 in California, we're especially grateful for the great men and women of states like West Virginia that help produce the energy that we need to power our economy. But not everybody is thankful. In fact, some of the mega banks, some of the great resetters, some of the big Wall Street interests are not thankful for states like West Virginia. In fact, they are waging war on some of those key industries that literally keep our lights on, literally keep our homes warm in the winter and cool in the summer, literally keep our cars gassed up so that we can get to work and produce the things that are needed. And so Riley, the state treasurer, has been leading a coalition of states. I think they're at 15 or 16. We'll find out in just a moment where they're at, that are putting pressure on some of these mega banks to quit waging a war on energy. And now under Moore's leadership, the state has now sent letters out to BlackRock, Wells Fargo, JP Morgan Chase, Morgan Stanley, Goldman Sachs, and U.S. Bancorp, letting them know that they've got just a month and a half to respond, or they're going to be put on West Virginia's restricted financial institution list. So these states are pushing back against the ESG and the war on energy. Mr. Moore, thank you so much for joining us today. And we had you on before to talk about this. This was when you guys were pushing that legislation through. So that legislation has passed and now it's being implemented. Give us an update. What's happening? What are the banks saying? And what are you guys in West Virginia doing?
Well, thanks again for having me back. And as you rightfully stated, we did send out the letters to the different financial institutions that are on notice that they're going to be put on the restricted financial institutions list here in West Virginia. And so what does that mean? That means that they will no longer be eligible to bid on financial services contracts with the state of West Virginia. So this could be an ACH contract, cash management, merchant service, things of that nature. These are multi-billion dollar contracts. It's a lot of money. And for us, we're dealing with what we view as kind of our near peer existential threats right now, financial institutions that we are authorized or are currently doing business with here in West Virginia, who are boycotting the fossil fuel industry, in our view. Now, they have a 30-day appeal period, which they will get back to us. We have heard from JP Morgan Chase they will be responding, so we'll see what they come up with. But in any event, look, we have a clear conflict of interest here, where we are having our tax dollars generated by the fossil fuel industry and then having banks manage those dollars at the same time when they're trying to diminish those dollars, right? Through ESG, woke capitalism, where they're trying to extinguish the fossil fuel industry, not only in West Virginia, but in this country. So this year, we will put that list out, and we're excited to put it out. It will be certainly a work in progress because I have the ability to update that list throughout the year. So as we continue to look and see which other financial institutions we think are harming the state of West Virginia and our interests, we are going to issue additional letters.
Fantastic. Riley, I think a lot of people across the country have just been desperate for somebody somewhere to do something. You know, nobody knows exactly what needs to be done, but people are just really, they're sick of it. But for the people who are just now learning about ESG, right? I mean, we at the New America, we've been talking about this for many years. In fact, I think the first article I wrote warning that this was coming was almost a decade ago. They were peddling this idea of benefit corporations where we're going to reform capitalism. But they're really coming out in the open now, and they're peddling this idea of ESG, that companies have to deal with the environmental and social and governance aspects. Give us a little bit of a breakdown. What is that? What is woke capitalism? And why is it so problematic, not just for the energy industry, but for other industries as well?
Well, look, where this really started from was this kind of socially responsible investing. And this was a long time back where people wanted investment vehicles, ETFs or otherwise, that matched up with their political agendas and where they would like to invest their money, whether it was something that is anti-gun, you know, happen to be pro-choice, pro-abortion, so on and so forth, those types of things, pro-environment. Now, that's different because that is an individual making a choice to invest their money a certain way. Now with ESG, what we have is what I call is coercive capitalism, where we're all being forced into this and we're all being forced to invest in this. It's being used by asset managers, and that's your money, pension funds or 401ks that are being pushed towards ESG investing because there's scoring systems now out there that are scoring different corporations, companies, and saying, well, you have a bad ESG score, we're going to move capital away from you. This is how we've ended up in this energy crisis, right? Because oil companies certainly don't have a great ESG score. And capital, at the same time, through the banks, has been denied to fossil fuel companies like an oil company or gas or coal, for that matter. And so they're not able to capitalize exploration and endeavors. And then thirdly, you have a fight on the government side, because that is all outside of the government. This is a, in my view, a collusion in between corporate power and left-wing political power in this country to get their agenda over the line without a single vote being taken by any of us. They're using our money to do it. And really, this is a form of economic extortion to get their goals and their agenda over the line. So now currently, it's now even come, S&P Global has come out with ESG ratings for states and municipalities. And then now followed on to that, we've had individual over there at Davos, of course, at the World Economic Forum saying, we can track individuals' carbon footprint. So I think ESG scores will be part of people's personal credit scores at some point in the future if we don't continue to push against this. And just to give you an illustration of what that could do to a state like West Virginia or any other state, these credit scores that are issued by S&P affects our bond rating. So when we want to build schools or roads or hospitals, we're going to be punished based on the industries that we have here in the state because it could hurt our credit rating. And at the end of the day, like I'm saying, this is economic extortion. They're trying to force us into destroying our industries. And the end of the day, all of you are paying for it because it's the ratepayer that's going to pay when we get away from fossil fuels. Because as the Europeans have done that in the past, if they increased even by 20% into renewables, you saw utility rates go up by 100%. You all are going to pay for that. You're paying for it in your 401ks. You're paying for it in your pension funds. I'll give you last example, an ESG ETF. The administrative fees are nearly twice as much as a large cap S&P 500 ETF. You all are subsidizing this, and many people did not even know this was going on. I'm glad Americans are waking up to this, because this is, as I said, it's economic extortion, it's coercive capitalism, and it's going to destroy this country.
So much there. And I think you're right on the money. In fact, they have pretty much come out now and say they want these individual social credit scores for people. The IMF has been pushing this. They want your even your search engine history to be part of this. I mean, it's very Orwellian. It's very much along the lines of what the Communist Chinese Party is doing to the people of China. And you know, I think it's a national security risk, too. Vladimir Putin is not affected by these ESG scores, nor are the Communist Chinese who are building coal-fired power plants faster than we can count them. It's only Americans that are having their energy industry destroyed. And of course, without energy, the economy collapses. And without a proper economy, of course, you cannot sustain a legitimate powerful military to defend this country. Folks, we're going to go to break in just a moment. And when we get back on the other side, we'll have State Treasurer of West Virginia, Riley Moore, with us. And he's going to talk to us about what he is doing, what the state of West Virginia is doing, and what other states are doing, because there's now a whole coalition of states. They've got over a dozen that are pushing back here. These are largely Republican states, conservative states, but it's a good start. So when we get back on the other side of this break, we will give you more on the solution and how you can get your state involved in this coalition to fight back against the woke capitalism and the agenda that these banks are pushing on our communities and on our families. Welcome back to Conversations That Matter. We are with State Treasurer Riley Moore of West Virginia, who is leading the charge. I mean, he's right at the center of this, of pushing back against the woke banks that are going after our energy industry, that are going after our companies. Riley, thank you again for staying with us over that break. And I want you to talk to us a little bit, if you would, about the coalition that is coming together around this. I know West Virginia is kind of leading the charge, but you brought on many other states that are also concerned about this. Tell us what's going on and how you guys are pushing back and where this is going.
Well, look, what we had resolved to do is, at a minimum, change our banking contracts, put provisos in there where they have to certify that they're not boycotting the fossil fuel industry. Now, every state treasurer's office has different authorities that they're guided by. I have a lot of latitude here in West Virginia. Some states have more and some states have less. But if you want to take a look at that letter, it's actually on my website, moreforwv.com. We have that letter up there and you can see which states have signed up. And not all of them are actually fossil fuel producing states. Some of them are just patriots that don't want to see their constituents pay higher prices at the pump or pay higher prices as it relates to their electric bill every month. But we saw here just in this last year, Kentucky passed our bill. We had
signed by a Democrat governor, huh?
Signed by a Democrat governor. Our bill passed here bipartisanly as well. Kentucky passed the bill. Oklahoma passed the bill. Texas has a bill. They've been in the forefront of this. Texas certainly has. And now just recently, Tennessee passed the bill. Now, we've had 13 states run this bill in the last legislative session of this year in 2022. Now, big banks and lobbyists and everything else came in and were able to squash that in several states, obviously. But I can tell you, this bill is going to come back with a vengeance in 2023 across the United States. Because, look, we've got to just stop talking and we have to start acting. We've got to just stop talking about the problem. Yes, we know it's a problem and it's great to talk about the problem, but we have to back those words up with real action.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And I want to ask too about the motivations here. You know, obviously energy is profitable because people need energy. Things that are profitable are things that satisfy the needs and wants of consumers. And of course, consumers want energy because they want to be able to heat their homes and things. Why are these banks doing this? I know it's hard to speak on motivations, but what could possibly be motivating these banks to undertake this war? Why would they do it?
Well, I think that there's not been pushback on the other side of it for so long. And I think it's kind of go along to get along. Now, certainly there's some leaders out there and some true believers in that this is the way forward as it relates to investing and financing in the future, is that everything needs to be green and ESG and all of those different acronyms that they have out there, DEI and everything else. But, you know, I think we are seeing this where there are financial institutions that are starting to hedge in the other direction. Even Larry Fink, the head of BlackRock, is starting to hedge somewhat his comments that he has stated publicly. There was a large bank that I was talking with, which I told them, look, they gave me a preview of some of the things that they were going to put out in terms of their policy framework. I said, look, this is going to be problematic. This is going to be a problem for us. And we saw them dial that back. Now, was it perfect? By no means was it perfect. Is it better? Yes, it is better. You know, I'll take a quarter loaf rather than no loaf. I want a whole loaf, obviously, by the end of all this, but I'll take a little bit. So I do think that as we continue as states to push back against this, you are going to see financial institutions start to hedge and move in our directions. And now the feds have also, at the federal level in Congress, which we as Republicans unfortunately do not control, but they are putting legislation forward. And I will tell you, in 2022, I think we're going to take the House and I think we are going to take the Senate, and we're going to start to be able to put the brakes on this. And then in 24, when we get a Republican president, I think you're going to see real action go into place. And a part of that, what they're doing, which is helpful, and I do support, but it cannot be the only thing that we do, is taking back our voice and our vote as it relates to our pensions, and having a say over that in terms of proxy votes, right? A lot of these big asset managers have our proxy in terms of our vote and are not voting our interests and our constituents' interests. That is important. It is a good thing. But if you want to see real change and real movement, we need to start moving capital. We need to start moving assets. And that is some of what we're doing. And we're seeing the market react. There are individuals out there that are now starting asset management firms, Vivek Ramaswamy being one of them, who's been very vocal on this issue, started a company called Strive, which is going to, as he states, be guided by what they call excellence in capitalism. And what they want to see is just companies succeed. If you're a coal company, we want to see you succeed. You're a solar company, we want to see you succeed. But we don't, what we're not going to coerce investment and use your vote and your voice against your constituents' interests.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Riley, I want to ask you too about the Biden administration, because yeah, the woke banks are really pushing this hard, but the Biden administration is also helping to drive this. I just saw Gina McCarthy, the White House climate advisor, publicly call on tech companies to silence people who are criticizing this so-called green energy transition. It's not enough to just silence the people who cast doubts on the hypothesis alleging that man's CO2 emissions are going to cook the planet. Now you got to silence even the people who question whether this green energy is a good idea. Also, the SEC is coming up with regulations, at least they're attempting to voice this ESG stuff on public companies. How big is the threat from the Biden administration? And are there any tools available for state governments, for people like you in state government, to push back on this, what I consider to be plainly unconstitutional abuse of federal authority?
Well, I can tell you, our attorney general here is certainly looking in it. And I know many Republican attorney generals around the country are looking at this. I mean, does this violate our fiduciary responsibility to our pension holders here in the state of West Virginia or around the country? Look, you see ESG ETFs and different securities underperform many times what would be your standard securities or ETFs out there. So I think there is a reasonable argument. I am not an attorney, but I do think there is a reasonable argument out there on this. And look, they're trying to shift blame right now. Oh, it's the oil companies. Oil companies are, you know, raking in all the profits and this and that. ExxonMobil took a loss in the billions last year to continue production. Look, when you're steering capital away from investment, they're not going to be able to do exploration. They're not going to be able to ramp up production in the oil industry or coal or gas for that matter. And secondarily, then you have all these regulations out there that won't allow us to build pipelines. Look, go look at New England and the price of natural gas in New England. Why is it so expensive? Because there's no pipelines to get the gas up there. We can't get the gas to terminal. They have now stated, experts, that the Marcellus gas field in this country, which obviously is a lot of West Virginia, is the second largest gas field in the world. In the world. And we've only tapped 30% of its potential right now. 30%, that's it. And, you know, a very important point here, we're asking the wrong questions. Look, this is certainly a solution to a problem that doesn't exist. The real problem that exists out there is, how are we going to meet the electrification requirements and needs of the future? Because electrical consumption is just continuing to go up in the United States, and renewables cannot meet that challenge. A country like India that relies 75% of its electricity is all generated from coal. 5%, that's it. Only 5% of Indians have access to air conditioning. And now you see every year that increases by 13%. If that continues in that trajectory, their electrification requirements are going to double every 6 years. That's a human rights tragedy, that people are not going to be able to have the access to electricity that they want, because we're stopping our companies from being able to export overseas and invest. And last thing I'd say, energy independence is energy security, which is American security. And we need to be putting America first and stop with this nonsense.
Couldn't agree with you more. Riley, we've got about 30 seconds left. Any ideas on how regular folks can get involved? What can people do?
Yeah, I would contact your asset manager. I mean, who's managing your 401k? I'm sure you'll be surprised to find that you're probably in some ESG securities and funds out there. Voice your opinion. This is your money. This is your money. It is not their money. Voice your opinion and voice your dissatisfaction in that.
Fantastic. State Treasurer Riley Moore, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for spending some time with us. We really appreciate it. We hope the folks out there will get involved.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. All righty, folks. Alex Newman here with Conversations That Matter. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, God bless you all.